GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. This is the George Hale Rick Tyler Show on the campaign trail. George Karasacks from Vote Yes on One. This is the question concerning the stripping of parental rights and childhood immunizations. She's got a busy morning. She's on her way to a meeting, but she said she'd make time to call in and talk with us on line one for GHRT.
Kara, good to talk to you again.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
All right, let's start just so that everybody is on the same page. Some people have a real life, not like us, and they don't read the fine print. A yes vote repeals legislative document 798. That was signed by the governor. That's designed to eliminate, as Rick indicated, the religious and philosophical examinations. The no vote upholds document 798, which was designed to eliminate those philosophical exemptions and religious exemptions. We're going to face this on March 3rd, and you've got a people's referendum out. So how'd they do? Are we on target here?
Very good. Impressive. Yes. And I would just reiterate, because it is very confusing, repeal, you know, reject, that the people's veto is challenging the law that changed the law that has always been on the books in Maine. So we've always had philosophical and religious exemptions to vaccination for not only school children, it also applies to daycare and healthcare workers. So adults and jobs, as well as online learning, any adults in online schools, trade schools, college and grad school. So it's very far reaching. So the people's veto is attempting to restore the law as it has always been in Maine.
We haven't talked to you since the Legislative Council, the panel of 6 Democrats and 4 Republicans, got together to consider which bills might come back into this short session, which begins today in Augusta. And one measure would have seen a revamping of where this question would appear. Not on the March, but rather in the June ballot. I don't think, as we talked with you previous, Kara, you had any real high hopes that that was going to go through and there might have been some sort of last minute change.
Yeah, you know, I was surprised to see the list of some of the bills that were considered emergent and some that were not. We were told by the Secretary of State, as were all of the other referendums this summer, that we would be on the June ballot when we had initially filed our paperwork and decided to go through this process. And over the summer, they notified us that a mistake had been made. Secretary Dunlap, you know, was very kind. He took responsibility and said that it looks like you're going to be on this new March ballot. So we certainly, you know, we didn't have faith that change would happen. And we're still confident. It just, you know, it gives us a lot more work to do to get out the vote. Because as listeners may or may not know, we have a brand new election in March this year. It's going to be a presidential primary. And with a sitting Republican president, you know, essentially it's going to be mostly Democratic voters coming out. So there's not a whole lot for Republicans, unenrolled voters to vote on at the polls.
Of course, the unenrolled are out in the primary. If you go back to 798, which was signed into law in 2019, in the legislature, Democrats by 84% supported the bill. Republicans by 91% opposed the bill. So you know those numbers. So going into a March primary that's dominated by the Democrats does give you, I assume, as you just indicated, pause for concern.
Yeah. So it's been interesting for us because, you know, I spent a lot of time in Augusta during the session, and even the legislators themselves on both sides of the aisle didn't understand why this was a partisan issue. You know, our coalition has about 2,000 people. It is, you know, at least half disgruntled Democrats. It's a very multi-partisan group. And I say disgruntled Democrats because they're really turned off by the party taking this stance. You know, it's the My Body, My Choice party. So we're not as concerned, I think, as the media is making it out that we should be, because we feel that, you know, this was a leadership decision on behalf of the Democratic Party in the legislature, and it doesn't represent the feeling of Democratic voters from in our experience, you know, in the conversations we had all summer with voters.
From the Vote Yes on One campaign, Kara Sacks, this is the question on the March ballot, as George and Kara both have mentioned, that will seek to halt the law that the legislature passed that strips parental rights concerning childhood immunizations for philosophical or religious exemptions for those reasons. It's not a black and white issue for some. It's not, let me use controversially, abortion, yes or no. But this one takes a bit of education if you want to take the time to educate yourself, see both sides, hold your ideas with an open hand, not a closed fist. It's taken a lot of education on the part of your campaign to get people to sign those petitions, to get this question on the ballot, and then get out to vote. How much of a challenge has it been to get someone to actually sit down for 5, 10, 15 minutes to hear your side?
You know, it hasn't been as difficult as it might seem, because what people are being led to believe by the media and, you know, by those pushing the bill is that this is really about should children be vaccinated or not. And it isn't. It's really not about vaccines at all. It's about do you believe that people should have the choice? And do you believe that people should have, you know, the choice when there are known and documented risks associated with vaccination, just like any other medical intervention? So most people, you know, at the outset say, well, yeah, kids should be vaccinated. And then you say, okay, did you know that, you know, when you were a child, you probably received 4 or 5 vaccines. Kids today are getting 69. And people right away, you know, are really disturbed by that and very willing to listen to more. The other piece is, you know, the fact that this impacts online education. It's not just public school like the media has reported. It's private, private school, colleges, grad school, online schools. Why on earth would you need online schools to have vaccination records? So, you know, once people learn about the actual law, they're very, very willing to have conversations and learn more.
There seem to be two groups operating. You're co-chair of Mainers for Health and Parental Rights. I guess the other group would be Maine Families for Vaccines. I think Caitlin Guilmette has been a spokesperson for them. One of the issues that comes up from time to time, because, and it would, you can understand this, when we use the term religious objections, most of the, how shall I phrase it, mainline churches in Maine have come out in favor, were in favor of 798, which religious groups are against it?
Yeah, that's a great question, George. If I could just digress for a second, one of the groups that's opposing the law is Maine Families for Vaccines. They're a grassroots group, as we are. We're just a grassroots group of parents and business owners and medical professionals. They've actually hired an Augusta firm, a fancy consulting firm. You know, they have a consultant, Bobby Reynolds, who's going to be working on this initiative for them. So, you know, we're familiar with his work. And, you know, I'm not aware that all of the major groups came out in support of the bill. We actually had a petition that was signed by over 40 clergy in the state of Maine. The Christian Civic League of Maine opposed the bill. And so, you know, there are no major religions that say congregants should not be vaccinated. But what you'll find is, I would say the majority of clergy, many clergy, feel that it's up to that individual's, you know, relationship and spiritual belief with their own higher power, whether they find the constituents in vaccines objectionable. And what we're referring to is, you know, many vaccines are produced with animal proteins. So that could be bovine or porcine ingredients for some of the Jewish faith. Or Muslims, and then there's aborted fetal cell tissue that's used for some of the live vaccines. So there are many people who have sincere religious objections. And again, often this is to one vaccine. It may be to the chickenpox vaccine that you're not able to get with different ingredients, and then your child is excluded from school because of that sincere religious belief for one vaccine.
Listener sends a note to us and asks for a clarification on this down this road of which churches, which religious organizations were yay or nay. This person writes to us, the Catholic Diocese of Maine did not take a position. Is that right? The case, Kara?
It is. It is. They did take a position on a couple of the other referendums this summer, and they allowed those into the church for signature collection. They would not take a stand because of how controversial the issue is with vaccination. So they didn't come out in support or opposition of the bill.
Karen, like so many things that we get into the political world, people get put into camps and put labels on them. Maybe they deserve or don't deserve. You're often, by the press at least, said, well, you're anti-vaccine. Vaccines are one of the most effective ways that medicine has to protect children. You're not, as I understand it, you're not against all vaccines or vaccinations. It's the obligation to do it. Is that the problem? Is that the issue? Because vaccines do work.
Yes. We don't, I don't really understand the term because I don't deny that vaccines exist. We have many, 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 many members who have fully vaccinated children, and they want to preserve the right to make those choices. So it's really about choice. It's not about vaccines. There are many vaccines that are extremely effective. There are many vaccines that are not very effective at all or have risks that really outweigh the risks associated with the disease itself. So it's really about choice. And I appreciate you bringing that up, George, because the press, often is referring to us as an anti-vaccine group. And we have, as I said, doctors who give vaccines regularly in our group and parents who have fully vaccinated children who oppose this terrible law.
Another clarification, if we could, as we talk with Kara Sachs of the Vote Yes on One, the question that's on the March ballot asking if you want to halt the law that strips parental rights for religious and philosophical exemptions for their children for childhood immunizations. Was Northern Light Health, then Eastern Maine Healthcare, was that the only healthcare institution in our state that sought an exemption from this law?
That's the only one that I'm aware of. They did come out and testify, and they said that they agreed with the law, but that it would be an undue burden because some of the healthcare employees would be out of work. And as people may or may not know, we have a huge nursing shortage in Maine. We have a huge coalition of nurses within our group that oppose the law. And feel as though, just like with parents making the decision for children, that it should be their right to decide and not forced on them by the state and employers. So Northern Light is the only one that I'm aware of, but I'm sure there are other facilities that are concerned about the reality, with the nursing shortage that we have.
So as I understand it at the moment, and I don't have kids in school anymore, somebody else takes care of the grandkids, but to enter kindergarten, to start school, you've got to have, what, 4 or 5, depending on your dates of birth. They vaccinate against diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, that type of thing, chickenpox. How does this change that? If we vote to throw this out, how does that change?
Yeah, so it doesn't change that at all. That's a great question. The law goes back to the way it is currently right now. The same kids are all together in school, at the grocery store, on the ball field, et cetera. We have vaccine requirements that have always been in place. And there's a small percentage of children who very often are missing one dose that they may have had a negative reaction to previously. So it doesn't change anything about the current requirements. Children are required to get, as I said, it's about 69 doses on the recommended schedule by the CDC. There's a smaller number than that that's actually required by Maine schools. And one thing that a lot of people don't know is that this law does impact the ability for parents to space. Most parents that I know, with fully vaccinated children, they're really concerned about the aggressiveness and the danger of the schedule. And that's as much an issue for people as anything else. So they space vaccines out. And so sometimes when a child is starting in kindergarten, the age range is 4 to 6 for many of the boosters that kids receive, because the effectiveness of vaccines decreases over time. So kids are getting 4 or 5 boosters sometimes of certain shots, and parents space that out. They don't want to give their child 5 vaccines at once. And so, the new law limits parents' ability to delay, and space out vaccines. So, it impacts things in that way. But if the law stands, if the veto is successful in overturning the law, nothing as you're looking at it in your child's school right now will be any different.
We can't get to, we haven't time to get to the financial question of how the campaign is going. But if anyone wants more information, where do they go, Kara?
They can head over to rejectbigpharma.com to get any more information about the bill. And we hope everyone will turn out on March 3rd. and vote yes to reject this law, reject Big Pharma in our state.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.